This is the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westony Jr. I'm your host for today's program. This program features the inspiring messages and presentations of Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today's message is centered around the topic of new directions. Pastor Phipps is going to get into this message in just a short time. But before that, as usual, we have some special music for you. And I hope that you will stay tuned and enjoy the music as well as today's very, very special message. If there's ever a message that you could put into action in your life right now, right after you hear the message, this one is it. So stay tuned as we proceed through another edition of The More Abundant Life. Here's music by Wintley Phipps.
Flowers dance in spring, in the icy wind they fade away. Morning brings the dawn, soon the night will come and shade the new day. But I dream of things eternal. I keep this hope burning in my soul, that somewhere the night is shining, somewhere a world out there is waiting for me. So teach the children well, tell them God has got a home in the sky. Help them find their way to a place where dreams never die. Soon this darkness will be over. I know we'll see a bright and better day. And oh, somewhere the night is shining, somewhere a world out there is waiting for me. Waiting for me, and I believe we'll get there someday, and love will light the way and lead us home. Love will light the way, love will light the way and lead us home.
That's music by Wintley Phipps, the song entitled Somewhere. Now here is today's message.
Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Thank God for his word today. My message this morning, new paths, new directions. New paths, new directions. This 11th chapter of Hebrews is known among Bible scholars as the Faith Hall of Fame. Now that's a hall of fame to aspire to. Among those recognized there are those for whom the mere mention of their names awakens the faith of the faithless. Names like Abel and Enoch, Noah, Gideon, Barak, David, and Samson. I must tell you that I have always been intrigued and encouraged by the fact that Rahab the harlot, a woman who was a whore, is mentioned here in God's Faith Hall of Fame. Hallelujah. It is as though God is saying something to us about the value he places on every soul. It is as though God is saying something to us about the depths to which his redemptive power will reach to rescue one trapped by a life of sin. To me, it is as though God, in including Rahab, is telling us something about himself and about the possibilities of our own soul salvation, the possibilities of our own deliverance and recovery from profound moral falls. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to rejoice this morning that someone can recover from such a profound moral fall and end up in God's Faith Hall of Fame. Make no mistake about it, there is no glory in a fall. Only glory is what God can do in spite of a fall. The scriptures say sin need not abound for God to receive greater glory. In this, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, two names are given honorable mention. They are Moses and Abraham. Both Moses and Abraham had several things in common. The first I find very significant, that both Abraham and Moses were called by God friends. Of Moses it was written, Exodus 33:11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. God himself called Abraham friend. Isaiah 41:8, but thou Israel art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Yes, Another thing Abraham and Moses shared was a pioneering spirit. Both dared to explore the unknown in search of a brighter future for themselves and their kindred, their families, and their people. Both believed God had prepared for them a bright future, and that to find that future, they had to journey into a dim unknown. Moses, he searched for what the Bible calls the promised land. Amen. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Both of these men defied the logic and reasoning of their compatriots. Both were explorers. They were faith explorers. They were pioneers. And today I would like for you to consider this verse of scripture, verse 8, about this one whom scholars have dubbed the father of the faithful. Now, at first glance, it appears to us that there is nothing particularly special about Abraham. Nothing, it would seem, that would compel God to fix his eye upon Abraham. Before God called Abraham, we knew nothing about Abraham. We know now that Abraham lived in a land called Mesopotamia, a beautiful, fertile plain lying between the Tigris and the Euphrates River. We also know that Mesopotamia was a land of decadence and great evil. Mesopotamia was where the Tower of Babel was built. Mesopotamia was where puny men shook their fists of their primitive ideas of engineering in the face of God. They built their first skyscraper in rebellion against God. And God, with the wave of his hand, left those rebellious people in a state of Babel. Mesopotamia was a corrupt society as society can get. Some historians even believe that Mesopotamia was where men first bowed down to graven images. Even Jeremiah himself called Mesopotamia a land of graven images. In Jeremiah, if you have your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 38, Jeremiah said, "For it is the land of graven images." But he went on to say, "And they are what? Mad about their idols." Wow. They're mad about their idols. Abraham and his family were devoted followers of the moon god. What god did I say? The moon god. But church, isn't it just like God to come to a heathen family to reveal himself, his will, his character, his purposes? Isn't it just like God to do the unexpected, to bypass the prideful, those who expect to be called? Isn't it just like God to reach past those people and to plant a vision of his will in the hearts of those who have not even had a vision of who he is? Sometimes God today still does it. He reaches down into the most vile of communities. He reaches down into the most degenerate of families. He reaches into homes where wickedness abounds, where generational curses have never been broken. This is the kind of God you serve. When he wants a servant, sometimes he reaches past the expected, those who have dressed up and cologned down. And he reaches past them into the muck and mire. And he plucks out souls like brands plucked out of a fire. Personally, I think God has always found delight in showing the world that his hand is not so short that he can't save to the uttermost. I think God delights in just reaching down where people have given up and pulling up souls. It was into this wild and wicked place called Mesopotamia that God went looking for a servant with a spirit of faith and adventure. What is so amazing to me is that Abraham wasn't searching for God. God was searching for Abraham. It was God who called out to Abraham. It was God who began the interaction with Abraham. It was God who reached out to Abraham and called him to a greater future. But more than that, God wanted to have a relationship with Abraham. God could see worth and potential in Mesopotamia. And he wanted a friendship. Yes. And are you listening to me? So he reached past the church looking for a friend. Isn't it just like him? God said, "Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house into a land." You'll find that Genesis 12, verse 1. "And from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And then verse 4 of Genesis 12. "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him." Praise God. God saw in Abraham, brothers and sisters, a quality he looks for in every man and every woman: the ability to be guided by a compass called faith. And God gave me this on the way to church this morning. I love telling people that because I acknowledge that sometimes thoughts come that are so wonderful that I know I didn't have the wisdom to think them up myself. God gave me this on the way to church this morning. If you don't like adventure, the life of faith is not for you. If you're not one for adventure, you're in the wrong church. The life of faith is not for you. Abraham was 70 years old when God said to him, okay, Abraham, saddle up. Wait a minute, Lord, 70, pack up. Leave your land of your birth, leave your loved ones, move away from all that is familiar, make a complete break with your old life. If you don't like an adventure, brothers and sisters, the life of faith is not for you. Abraham, I want you to leave the Ur of the Chaldees for a destination. In time, I will confirm it to you. The Clear Word Bible says it this way. I love it. God said to Abraham, leave this city, move on to the land that I will show you because you're still living too close to your relatives. Woo! My plan is to make a great nation from your descendants, and I will bless you through you. All nations of the earth will be blessed. Church, now, those promises God made to him, Abraham, were really monumental during that time and particularly for that culture. You see, God's first promise to Abraham was one of land. Was what? Land. In biblical days, land was everything. Land was so important to the Hebrew people then, and check it out, it still is today. Not only did God promise Abraham land, but he also promised him many children to carry on his name. One night, God took Abraham out under the stars and said, look here, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the heavens. This promise to Abraham of land and of children was a promise of prosperity. It was a promise of hope. Church, God did not call Abraham to enter the ministry. He called him to obey and follow. God didn't call him to a seminary. He said, no, hallelujah. You want a real godly degree? Follow me. He didn't call him the pastor of church. God called Abraham and said, just simply follow me. Gather your family in faith and follow where I lead. Now, this was a serious decision. God was asking Abraham, for when you say goodbye to family, you never know how you'll be accepted by strangers. Will they be hospitable? Will they be kind? You never know. Sometimes they are kinder than family. Help me, somebody. God's command to Abraham, get thee out of the country from thy kindred. God was even more specific. He said, leave your father's house. And that's no mean decision. Leave your country. Leave the land of your birth. And in the heart of most men and women lives what I call a native patriotism for the land from which you were born and bred and hail. To ask a man to leave his native land is a sacrifice of profound importance. The Canadian who lives up in the northern part of Canada loves the tundra. He loves the ice. I don't like ice. The Arab loves his desert sands. As for me, I love blue water, palm trees, and mangoes. Have you noticed when you ask people to describe paradise on earth, snow is never in that picture? Think about that for a moment. If you ever see a picture of paradise and you see snow and chalets, let me know. Just as God called Abraham and led him to travel new and unfamiliar territory, we too, brothers and sisters, are often called to begin new lives that are different than our past. We too are often called to begin a journey that will be unfamiliar to us. We are called to step out in faith like Abraham stepped out and follow God. And I love the way the English Bible says it, the old KJV. He went out and knew not whither. That's a nice word. Whither means he went out, didn't know where he was going. And God said to Abraham, I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. Brothers and sisters, God usually blesses you when he knows you'll be a blessing. Are you listening to me today? God blesses you when he knows you're going to be a blessing, because he knows it's hard for you to be a blessing when you haven't been blessed. Amen. So sometimes he blesses you so that you can be a blessing. What made Abraham so special was Abraham, the Bible says, by faith, when he was called, obeyed. He did what? Obeyed. He followed God, and everyone he encountered knew that God was with him. And it was a tough decision. He had no idea where he would end up. My goodness, how his faith journey would turn out. He didn't know if he would be robbed and beaten along the way. The only thing he knew was that God said, go, and he went. God said, leave your country, your people, your father's household. What a blessing it was for Abraham to know that God had a special purpose for him. You know, you can look at the cup half empty and half full. God says, go. That means he's got a plan. He's going to bless you. He wouldn't call you if he didn't call you to something. So when God says, pick up, go this direction, you ought to have a smile on your face. The Bible says, so Abraham left as the Lord had told him. Look at Genesis 12. He took his wife, Sarah, his nephew, Lot. Now, one writer suggests that Abraham did not do exactly as God had told him. He had a pattern of that, you know, even after he knew the Lord. But this writer suggests that Abraham, when God says, leave, remember he said to leave what? Your kindred, leave your family. Abraham wanted the security, some little something that said, I got protection. I've got the security of my friends and family. I want to have people around me that know me and understand me. I want people of my same race, my same culture. Are you listening to me? I need the familiar. And that was a mistake. The problems caused by taking Lot along were many. That's the reason why when God calls you, sometimes he calls you away from family. You remember tensions arose between Abraham and Lot. Finally, they separated. And where did Lot end up? In Sodom. And what happened to Sodom? Burned up. At first, Abraham may have been slow to respond to God's call, church. Maybe it was the pull of his father, his fears. All we know is that God finally had to tap him on the shoulder, not just once, but twice. And some of us, God has to deal with us that way. He'll start out by calling us, and he'll whisper, come. And we won't hear. And then he'll tap us, and we still kind of, like, we don't hear. And then he'll shove us, and we still don't listen. And then he'll shout, and we still don't hear. And then he picks up a 2x4. God said, I'm going to get your attention now. And before you know it, you're flat on your back. And there's nowhere else to look when you're flat on your back than up. Evelyn Underhill writes, Christian history looks glorious in retrospect, but it is made up of constant hard choices and unattractive tasks accepted under the pressure of God's will. Sometimes God's got to put pressure on you before you accept his will. And with Abraham's weaknesses, we know that God saw, even with his weaknesses, he saw in Abraham a man of faith. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Bible said it was credited to him as righteousness. He struggled with believing at first, but the Bible says when he was called, he did what? Obeyed. He did what? Obeyed. And he went out not knowing which way he went. He didn't know which way he was to go. All he had was a compass of promise. Hallelujah. Sometimes that's the only compass you got. God promised me he was going to take care of me. And I'm going to step out in faith. What kind of a land is it, Lord? I'll show you, Abraham. Will the people be kind? I'll show you, Abraham. Which way, Lord? East or west? I'll show you, Abraham. Bible says he went out and knew not whither he went. Imagine the anxiety of Abraham. Church, he left behind the society and approbation of his friends. God did not tell him where he was going, what enemies he would meet, but he did tell him, hallelujah, that if you meet enemies, I'll take care of them. Remember, he said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. That means even when you're doing God's will, you're going to meet enemies. But God has already said, I'll take care of them. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those. Are you listening to me today? I came to ask you one question this morning. How do you respond to the new paths and new directions God is leading you to? How do you respond to the unknowns in your future? Some people are afraid of the future. Perhaps you know that little poem. It goes like this. Backward, turn backward of time in your flight. Make me a child again just for tonight. Somebody said, I may enter into a second childhood someday, but right now I don't want to be a child. It's not a good time to be a child. Someone said, I want to look forward, not behind. Some say there comes a point when you don't mind going back. You start feeling it. One man, when asked by a friend if he'd ever had a midlife crisis, said, brother, midlife, he said, at this point, I've got to back into midlife crisis. I'm beyond that now. Don't look back, brothers and sisters. Look ahead. Paul says, I forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before you. I came to ask you today, how do you respond to the future God is preparing for you? You know, we love to try and live in the past. Turn on the radio, you go to the oldies and goodies station. Turn on the television, you're looking at the reruns. But how do you embrace the future God is preparing for you? Do you see the future as your enemy or as your friend? Joseph Parker once wrote, listen carefully, God holds the key of all unknown, and I am glad. For if other hands should hold the key, or if he trusted it to me, I would be sad. I don't need to know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not afraid of tomorrow. How do you embrace the future God is preparing for you? How do you approach the new paths and new directions? Remember, you can't see the future, but he does. And when you feel weak, he's powerful. When you're confused, his providence will guide you. How do you respond? I came to tell you today that God specializes in giving you new starts and new beginnings in life. Follow the Lord. He will lead you to a bright, fresh picture that sparkles in the morning. Everything will shine. Everything will be a thrill.
Well, that brings us to the end of our program for today. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. Please ask for program number 224, and that will give you today's message. Well, until next time, I want to wish you God's richest blessings. I hope that you'll join us again for another program. But until then, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.